Okay, so we're holding at the beginning of the second parak, and I thought it was an appropriate time to talk about the sugya of mutar lashanos of Nei HaShalom. By the Gemara has a machlokes b'sham yisilon daf yud zayin, whether one is supposed to say kala kama shehi or one should say kala navach suda. Big discussion in the mefarshim there exactly what it means. Most surprisingly is obviously what the Shitim Kubetzes writes, that they actually used to go around and say kama mechu ara isha zu. Like, it's hard to actually imagine such a circle at a chasana that they're dancing about how ugly the kala actually is and how terrible she is, but that's the way the Shita understands the Gemara at face value. I remember Avasher Weiss once told me I would be remiss if I didn't share this. I think it's a very geschmacka insight, take it or leave it, but I was once at a Sheva Brachas with him, and he said that the Gemara says in Yevamos that the Beisham Beis Hillel, even though they had a machlokas about Yuchsin, they didn't stop themselves from allowing their children to marry into one another. So says the Gemara, how do we know? Because the Pasuk says, Ha'emes v'ashalom ahavu. So you say, what's the Havamina? We're talking about two Heilige Tanaim, Bisham Bisil. What do you think? They didn't get along with each other? What's the Havamina? That they allowed their children to get married to one another? Ha'emes v'ashalom ahavu. Of course they got along. We knew that before. So why does the Gemara bring that as a raya, that their children married each other? We knew in advance that two Tanaim would never hate each other so much that they wouldn't allow their children to marry just out of hate. If they're not allowing them to marry out of halacha, that's a different story. So he suggested maybe what it means is that imagine you have the machlokes b'sham b'silal over here. How is one supposed to react at a chasana? Do you say kala kama shehi or do you say kala navach suda? So imagine you come to a wedding where you have a mixed marriage b'sham b'silal. So you have one circle dancing around, look how ugly the kala is, mama, she's so ugly. You have a second circle dancing around, look, oh, gevaldika kala. So you have on the one hand the emistika circle that's saying kala kama shehi, ugly, ugly. And on the other hand, you have the circle, which is the b'silal circle, which is the shalom. So he said, that's what the Gemara means. You had a this chasana where you had a unity between b'sham b'silal. Ha'emes v'ashalom ahavu. You had the two extremes came together. On the one hand, you had the emes coming forth, and on the other hand, you had the shalom. So it's a cute vart, but I think it really speaks to a lot of what this sugi is going to be about. Obviously, we have a din that one is not supposed to say a sheker. So let's first discuss where that halacha comes from and what it's all about. So we generally are used to hearing that midbar sheker tirchak is the din, one is not allowed to say a lie. Is that really the case? So the Sefer HaChinuch writes in Mitzvah Ayin Dalet, everybody knows that sheker is a horrific character trait. Vein davar mos mimenu. Says the chinuch, there's nothing that could be worse than saying sheker mipnei. Shehashem yisbarach kel emes v'chalasher ito emes. Everything the Ribbono Shalom stands for is emes. Vein abracha mitzuya v'chala ela b'mizdamim ela b'maseim. The only time that bracha can be shore is on someone that considers his job in life to be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He damas lo kel. The same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is MS, so we also have that job to be Anashim Amitiyim. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Merachim, so too we should be. The Gemara in Sota, Daf Yud Daled, the Gemara in Shabbos as well, Kuflamed Aleph. Let's say somebody acts in a way which is not conforming to the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'heim balei ha-sheker sheim behefach midos of mamish, kamokein tanuach aleihem le'olam mashu hefach midos. If you act in a way which is not in accordance with the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts, then the same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pay you back, so to speak, and he won't act in accordance with his chesed that he normally acts with most people. Behefach midos ha-bracha shehibo, he me'erav ha-klala. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send you klala because you're not following the guidelines of how you're supposed to act, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't follow, so to speak, in his guidelines, and he won't reciprocate to you what you should have midas hachesed in your life or midas bracha in your life either. So this is the Sefer HaChinuch lays out for us very clearly that midas ha'emes to us is considered a major tenet of our belief. It's something that's very important and it's something we believe in. In fact, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin Tzadi Zayin, there's a very interesting story here. It's hard to understand that it really can be taken at face value. The Mefarshim try to explain it. But over here, the Gemara says a story. I first thought that there's no such thing as a real, honest place in the world where people don't say any lies. And then the Gemara goes on to say that there was a personality whose name was Reb Tavus. He would never lie. He was always a truthful person. So this personality, whatever his name was, he went to a particular community. Happens to be the name of the town was named after the fact that they were so emistic, that they were so honest all the time. No one there would ever bend or veer from the truth at all. Nobody would ever die early, tragically, because They never said a lie. So you see how important emes actually is. And then the Gemara goes on to say how there was a woman in the town who one time somebody came and knocked on the door, and her hair wasn't covered, something like that. She just came out of the shower, not clear exactly what happened, and she didn't think it was right to come and answer the door in the state of being that she was in. So she said, nobody's home. I'm not sure why the person knocking on the door, you know, when we were kids, we say, you know, my father's not home. But like, if the father himself says, hi, I'm not home, so why would the person listen to that? So I don't know exactly how to explain the story, but basically she said, we're not here. And because that was a little bit bending from the truth, she lost two of her children. So the Gemara says that you see how in a community that holds to such a high standard, you see the way they'll be treated. So obviously this was a little bit out of line, and she had good excuses why she didn't say the exact truth. But still, the Gemara holds that we have to be very careful about the midas ha'emes and make sure that everything is always done with the utmost honesty and integrity. So this is something, obviously, which is a big yesod in Yiddishkeit. However, what we're used to understanding is that it comes from the pasuk of Midrash HaKetirchot. That's what everyone always says, don't tell a lie. And in fact, there are some Rishonim that quote the din, they count it, the smag, the yireim, the smak, they all have this in the minyan mitzvahs as one of the tariyak mitzvahs, that one is not allowed to ever veer from the truth. However, I found it...
I mean, some of them limited more than that. The yireim, I think, is it, that he can't be gori nezik. Okay. So but, it's not, but just to say that somebody...
Okay, so we'll see. But what I found very interesting was Rabbi Yochum Fischel Perlau. He has a very long arichas for anyone that might be interested or not. But Rabbi Yochum Fischel Perlau has in Mitzvah Sasei Chaf Beis where he discusses this din of Midas Ha'emes. So I thought it was an interesting discussion that he has there. And he quotes that the Rashbeitz writes in the Zohar HaRakia that Heich Efshe Shelo Tiyeh Lanu Mitzvah B'Divar Ha'emes. How could it be? How could it be that there's no mitzvah that's counted as saying the truth? How is it possible? And in fact, you look, the Rambam does not count it. The Rambam does not have it in the Minyan Mitzvahs. And over here, the Rabbi Yochum Fischel Perlau was commenting on the Rasag, on the Minyan Mitzvahs of the Rasag. And over there also, Rabbi Sadi Gaon does not have Midrash HaKetirchot as one of the Tariag Mitzvahs. So the Rashbeit asks Akasha, how could it be that we don't have a mitzvah B'dibur HaEmes? And he brings a raya, so he says, where are you going to quote a raya from that we have a din that you're not allowed to say a lie? So says the Rashbeit, well, you have to say, we have a Gemara here in Ksubas Daf Yud Zayin that says, Machlokes B'sham Mishilol, and Mishilol said, we want to say, Kavach Suda, and B'sham Mitani back, Midrash HaKetirchot. Says the Rashbeit, you see from here, obviously there's a din d'araisa that Midrash HaKetirchot, it's obviously a mitzvah natar. Okay, so it's a little bit strange to bring a raya from there, meaning, obviously, the pasuk is not to be taken literally, as we'll see in a few minutes, that it's not clear that that's what the pasuk is referring to. Stam saying a lie. So Rabbi Yochum Fischel Perlau takes issue with this raya that's brought from our Gemara. So he writes as follows. We can read it all together. Amnam Rabbeinu Hagon. Over here he's referring to the Rasag, because that's who he's writing his pirush on. V'chein harambam, v'haramban, v'hachinuch, lo manua. So very nice. You want to bring a raya from our Gemara that there's a din, midvar sher ketirchot, there's a din, one is not allowed to tell a lie. However, why is it that we don't find in the Gerolei HaRishonim, in the Rambam, and the Ramban, the Chinuch, and over here in the Rasag, why don't they count this din, Midrash HaKetirchot, as one of the Tariag Mitzvahs? With Tzarech Iyan Taim Amai, says Rabbi Yochum Fischel, he's not sure why we don't count this in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. Venir the Sphere Lay, Dekra Dehin Tzedek. So you'll say, well, maybe we'll learn from a Pasuk that the Gemara Darshan's Din Tzedek, Sheyehei Hein Shalchat Tzedek, that you always have to say the honest truth. So maybe you'll say, okay, from there you see, one is not allowed to tell a lie, because it says Hin Tzedek and we darshan Hein Tzedek. So he says, no, that's Vade Asmachta Ba'almahu. Why? The Vade Pashte Dekra Lo Misparish El B'midas Hadin. I'm sorry, B'midas Hadin. The Pashte Dekra of Hin Tzedek is not referring to saying the truth. That's a nice extra drusha that we learn out, Sheyehei Hein Shalchat Tzedek. But the Pashtus of what the Pasuk is referring to is not at all in the context of saying the truth or saying a lie. The Pashtus of that Pasuk is really referring to having honest measurements, as the regular reading of the words we actually indicates. Val pizem avur de gam talmid rabbeinu yonah bari mikorvil de hach rasha de hin tzedek asmachta v'almahu. So he says this is just an asmachta, and this is not to be taken literally as the mukar for not saying a sheker. Ve'en kan esek mura uchadas harambam v'harav v'harazav v'harash. And he says this is why many of the gedolei harishonim do not count Midrash HaKetirchot or Hin Tzedek as a lav, because this is not the Pashte Dikra. So then you go to the next paragraph, and he says, so I knocked out the pasuk of Hin Sedek. So what about Midbar Sheker Tirchak? That's the most obvious pasuk. Why don't you take that? So he says, no. Amnam Nira Deshar Mani Hamitzah Shalom Manu Esezu. Why don't they count Midbar Sheker Tirchak? Forget Hin Sedek. You're right. It's just an asmachta. It's not the pasuk of the Krah. But what about Midbar Sheker Tirchak? So he says, Gamehachra Ein Lanu Lumod Esei B'Dibor HaEmes. You can't learn from that pasuk either. Mishem Depashti Dekra Lo Mayri Ela Ba'atara Lebezden Shalom Ladam Din Sheker. What's the end of the pasuk? Midbar Sheker Tirchak, V'nakim Yitzalik Al Taru. So what's that referring to? It's talking about a Bezdin that they shouldn't tell a lie in the context of the Bezdin procedure. In those proceedings, they shouldn't tell a lie, because what's going to come out of that is Nakim Yitzalik Al Taru. So he says that you can't say that that's the Pashti Dekra either. So you can't extrapolate from there anything about a private person having his own dealings with other people, because this pasuk is really only referring to a Bezdin proceeding. Then he writes, "Alavadei al karchof muchrach de bedivrei hasheker ba'alma la'aver midaraisa b'lo klum." So that's a very surprising statement. Rabbi Yochanan Fischer Perla writes that I believe that there's no such mitzvah essay in the Torah as not saying a lie, because he said he knocked out Hin Sedek, because that's not what it's referring to. It's referring to the Pashtei Dekra. And then he writes he can't say it's referring to Midrash Sheker Tirchak either, because that's really discussing in the context of a Bezdin. So how do we know this din that one is not allowed to tell a lie, says Rabbi Yochanan Fischer Perlau? It seems that there's no Isur Daraisa whatsoever to say a Sheker. Then he says, well, maybe you can bring a Raya to this fact. He writes a very interesting Raya. The Gemara has in Bava Metzia, a famous Gemara where it says, Hani Tlasmili Avdei Rabbanim D'Mishanim B'Malai. Three things that the Chachamim, a Talmud Chacham, is allowed to lie about, B'Masechta B'Puriya B'Ushbiza. Zakti Gemara, L'may Nafkamina. L'may Nafkamina, that one is allowed to lie about Puriya Masechta Unishbiza. So the Gemara says, the Nafkamina will be to be Maksir N'Aveda B'Tviyasai. So Frekta Rilchem Fischel, he says, I don't understand. Why is the Gemara B'Mechab Tavi Lachma? Why do you have to bring a Raya from the Nafkamina? Why do you have to bring a Nafkamina from Machzir Aveda B'Tviyasai? And why don't you just say, Nafkamina will be whether or not I'm over on the Yisra Midrash Sheker Tircha? That's a Nafkamina. Simple. No? I think it's a pretty good Ha'ara. It's a pretty strong Ha'ara. Why don't you say simply, why does the Gemara have to come along and tell me that the Chachamim, a Talmud Chacham, is allowed to be Mishani B'Malayu in these three cases? Why don't you say Nafkamina is that he's not over the Isur Daraisa of Midrash Sheker Tircha? It must be, says Rabbi Yochanan Fischel, the Gemara didn't even have a Havmina to say that. Why? Because there's no Isur Daraisa of Midrash Sheker Tircha at all. So the Gemara now has to come on to a new Nafkamina. What's a Nafkamina that a Chacham is allowed to be Mishani B'Diburei for these three issues? Must be an Nafkamina for being Machzir Aveda B'Tviyasai. So this is a surprising raya, but this is what Rabbi Yochanan Fischel says. And in the end, he writes, you look at the last line, Ela Vadai, I skipped a lot in the middle. It's a very, very long arichas, but he says, it seems to me, V'lachein nirla niyastaiti ikir kidikasivna, dikra demidvar sheker tirchak lo koi ela la azhara la dayanim, ava ba'ama leka yisura daraisa ela ba'edim. So he says that for a private person, we don't have a makar and chumish to tell us that this would be an isur daraisa at all. So this is a very interesting maskana that Rabbi Yochanan Fischel Perlau comes to, and it's something to think about. Meaning, it's not so simple that we have a makar at all. Now, one caveat that he does write is that it doesn't mean one's allowed to say a sheker whenever he wants. So he just points out, I forgot to put it on, but he writes that devada bidvarm shevinam lachaver yeshlanu kama azharas patara. So obviously, to make up a lie about someone that's going to be lashon hara rechila, something like that. Okay, so that obviously that's doesn't count at all. B'dayanim k'siv midbar sheker tirchak. And b'edim k'siv lav de lo sana b'reacha et shaker. U'banaz dvarim k'siv lo sonu. U'b'gnevas das k'siv lo signovu. U'k'siv lo sechachshiv lo seshakri yishva mito. So you put all this together, okay, where you're going to have a case where it's actually going to be mutter to lie al pi dinei haTorah, not going to be so easy to find that case. But he says, just simply, if let's say it's not damaging anyone else, I just make up a lie for the sake of making up a lie. I don't know who has such desires to do such things. However, he says it's not going to be so easy to pin down an Isra Daraisa for somebody who's lying with no real intention of hurting somebody else. So this is the Mechudesh de Keshita of Rabbi Yochanan Fischel Perlau. And again, he has what to rely on. Number one, he brought a lot of rayas, which we didn't discuss, but he brings a lot more. Number two, he does have a diuk that many of the money on mitzvahs, the gdolei money on mitzvahs, do not count an iser to lie as part of the minyan tarik mitzvahs. Yeah.
Does he mention maybe those, there's some sort of, these iser are abanon for real, and those are asmachtos, or he assumes that those, the gemara is like basically the shaman, they're not even iser derabanan?
Yeah, well, he agrees it's an iser derabanan. I mean, he said hin tzedek is only an asmachta ba'alma. But the question is on the level of deraisa, do you have a mucker?
Yeah.
Right.
Just in terms of the raya of the Mishnah of Baruch and Margot and Tzia, once you understand the Rabbanon, like Yaakov says, then you have the same question he asked in the race, which is nice in the Rabbanon.
Right.
But the meaning of the square head to Rabbanon.
Correct. Yeah, so. Yeah.
Yeah, just point out, he says something very mechudosh about our Gemara. He says that in his response is that that's Beishama held. I mean, Barshak Kedurzik applies outside the context of Beizin, but Beis Hillel's response was that's in fact not a mitzvah. I don't recognize that as a mitzvah at all, mm-hmm. outside of Beis, which is not, I mean...
It's not the Pashtus, right.
No, so that, the Rashbat's Raya is a pretty good Raya.
Right, so how do we learn the Gemara? Meaning, forget about Rabbi Yochanan Fishel, how do we explain the Gemara? What's Beis Hillel's response? Beis Hillel's response is that there are sometimes that other halachas trump the iser to say a sheker. As serious as the iser, the chumrah of saying a sheker might be, we have other considerations that we have to think about.
It's not the klal sheker.
What?
It's not the klal sheker.
What do you mean? Are you saying the truth or saying the truth?
You could say it's l'shanos, but not sheker. That's something you chose.
You're saying a lie.
You're
saying a lie.
Because the definition of a lie and the truth depends on the context. And if you have a cultural context where certain things are understood...
So some Rishonim learn that way. So some Rishonim learn... that what does it mean in our Gemara when Beis Hillel says you say Kala Namach? So it means you pick out a nice mita about the Kali. You can always find something nice to say about someone, right?
But that's not what everyone...
Right, so that's not what everybody learns up in our Gemara. Again, the Shita Mekubetzes, when he explains our Gemara, says, Kam Luchu Arazu. Meaning you say, she's mamish, like, ugly as can be. And Beis Hillel responds, right? And what does Beis Hillel respond to such a pshat?
It's a placebo that says that when a person dies, so you're supposed to see nicer things about them than they actually deserve. And there's a whole bunch of other places where we say, and I think that the Mepharshim say over there, because everyone understands
this is what we mean.
A lie is not a syllable that indicates an untruth. It's a communication which is understood by its recipients as communicating an untruth.
Right. So now what about when you look in the Chafetz Chaim and he talks about saying a sheker gummer? What? Right. So let's get to that in a minute. I'm just pointing out it's not so simple. Sometimes you can brush it off by saying, yeah, I'm just going to focus on one nice meat of the person, and it's not really going to be considered a sheker. But what about a situation where you are saying a sheker? So what's the heter to do that? So what you have to say is that there are sometimes that other considerations outweigh the consideration of midrash sheker tirchak or whatever the makar deraisa might be. My father likes to say over that, I think he says in the name of the Rav, that I think it's really what the Sefer HaChinuch says. Where does sheker, the iser, to say a sheker come from? It's because Chosam HaShal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes. The Gemara says, Halachta B'drachav, exactly.
One of the midos that's actually mentioned.
Right, so if it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chosam HaShal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes, that this is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, so then we have a chiyuv, Halachta B'drachav, to follow in his ways, and also only to say the Emes, which really, if you look at the Sefer HaChinuch, which is why I put it on here, that is what the Sefer HaChinuch actually says. Sefer HaChinuch says, Mishrashi HaMitzvah is that a person should go v'alachta v'drachav, and if you want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to act with you in a midas ha-chesed, then you have to act in his drachem as well.
Why you could say it's eternal invitation mitnei ha-shalom, which the Gemara Yevamos brings from the Gemara Shalom is the model of that. So you could say that's a sort of an internal
meaning invitation. We already have a precedent for this.
Mitzvah is halachta v'drachav. The Gemara Shalom is mishana mitnei ha-shalom. So the whole, it's not overriding the iser, it's part of the mitzvah that says, say emes, says...
Follow in his way and also make considerations, right? Very good. I did see a Menchas Chinuch, which has a ha'ara, that it's an interesting ha'ara. When we say Chosam HaShal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes, so he makes a diuk, and Menchas Chinuch writes, when the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, so we have three groups of people who are going to be judged. So it says that tzadikim gemurim are nechtavim and nechtavim la'alter l'chaim. Then he says... We have Rishon Gemur Mar also Nechtamim and Nechtam La'alter Misa. And then you have the Beinanim who are Tluim Ba'omdim, and the Gemara ends off and says, Ad Yom HaKippurim, Zachu, if they do any mitzvahs in between, so then Nechtamim L'chaim. Lo Zachu, then not. So he says, why over there does the Gemara, why is the Gemara Mishana? Why doesn't the Gemara say Nechtamim and Nechtamim? Same way it says by Tzadikim and Rishayim. So the Menchas Chinuch suggests that maybe what it means is because Chosam HaShal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes, so when he's downing at Tzadik, who deserves to stay alive, so the Emes dictates he deserves to stay alive. When you're downing at Rasha, who deserves to die, Emes dictates that he deserves to die. Chasar Mashal Kadosh Baruch Hu Emes says, Nechtamim Nechtamim, you're going to be the Chaim, you're going to be the Misa. But what about the Beinoni, who really, Al Pi Emes, doesn't deserve to stay alive? He doesn't really have so many mitzvahs. He's vacillating. We're not sure exactly where he stands. So Kadosh Baruch Hu's Midas HaChesed kicks in and then allows him to stay alive by Yom Kippur. You can't call that a Chasima. Says the Menchas Chinuch, you can't say on him, Nechtamim, because Chasar Mashal Kadosh Baruch Hu Emes, that's not the absolute Emes in a case like that. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Midas HaChesed trumping over the Midas HaEmes, which I thought was an interesting Menchas Chinuch to consider. It's an interesting shot in the Gemara and an interesting diak, but that's also based on this concept that we believe that everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is Emes, unless you have situations where his Midas HaChesed should trump the Midas HaEmes, which is what we're going to discuss as well. Where do our other Midas play in to go against the Midas HaEmes that we're supposed to live by? Yeah.
I'm back to the So it seems like if you want to do it from the last of the Jaffa, then you have to assume that the connotation of MS, when you talk about a Kodesh Baruch Hu, is that kind of, that things are, you know, as they seem to be. Like, that's the point of Shekhar here, seems to be you're deviating from something that's factually correct. Right? But it seems like the connotation of MS with respect to Midah of Kodesh Baruch Hu is not just that, you know, things are a certain way. Right? You say about Enchini Bederach HaEmes. It doesn't just mean like in a factually true way, right? It speaks about something more than factual truth.
Okay.
So if your condition of MS is not just about factual correctness when it comes to Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's hard to derive the Yisr Midbar Shekhar Tirchak as a negation.
Because you have meaning, because from the Rabban Shalom's perspective, that's what Noah was saying. From the Rabban Shalom's perspective, you have to see the whole picture and take in all the considerations, right? Is that sort of what you're saying? Am I not understanding?
It seems to connote meaning the negation of lying.
Correct.
You need it. You could also add just that.
Another example, like the Rambam, whenever he uses MS in Yisrei Torah, really says that nothing could exist without the Rambam Shalom, because like Kodesh Baruch Hu is like, Ein Amitusa, okay, Amitash Shari Brian. That doesn't mean that it's like more truthful. It means it sounds like a deeper level of existence.
A really
deeper level of existence.
Actually.
I always thought that the Torah, that's because we also said the Midah of Yaakov, but also that's, you know, Yaakov, obviously the secret to his father. But the, I think there's a lot of evidence linguistically and otherwise that Yaakov is along those lines. But MS means integrity. He thinks, you know, just said Shleimus. Mm-hmm. 99% of the cases, and it's part of the law of the 10, but 90% of the cases or 95% or 99%, integrity requires what we call honesty. And then there are situations where there's more at stake, and especially when there's a conflict between different vetoes, where integrity requires that you either, what Rafani said, look at things in a narrower way or a different way so that the MS is just a different kind of MS. Or even in some cases where Shalom trumps MS, which is what you're talking about, but that has to do with MS having not the definition of, you know, truth as opposed to lie, but truth in the sense of integrity. Mm-hmm. And from what you're in the bigger picture, you know, what a Dover should be doing. And that's what we say, Amitusa or Amitusa, Mitziusa, which is part of the Rama, means the, you can't have, the, that's the ultimate, your Bonshom is the ultimate presence of integrity. Consistency and wholeness.
Right, it's just a dangerous hagdara to give to the hamonah, right? I mean, you need,
yeah.
Right, we need like a,
that's
we,
right.
We need
to
make
a
norm,
right?
Right,
right.
It's not right. So this
but
is
the idea then is that these exceptions, I think all of them are true. There are some where we say just, you know, that, you know, we're just looking at it, not the aggregate, but in particular, we're focusing on particular people. In other cases, it's being trumped down the case, but the common denominator of all of them, no one's saying that it's easy to apply, is that that refers to acting with integrity. Like Yaakov Avinu, that's the point. We say the Midah of Yaakov is MS because what Yaakov did was against his person. He didn't do it for pragmatic reasons, and he didn't do it because he was a liar, Chas V'Shalom. He did it because he was an Ishtam, Moshe, Yoshe, Bohalim.
And that's what times dictated.
Exactly, and therefore the integrity of what he was, what he had to protect in that case, you know, that was one of the 1% or 2% or whatever, I make up the percentages, obviously, cases where integrity, MS also, emunah is, that's all, that's what Chai in his parent, Kanakamak also, so the other portion also, is that MS is from that language of emunah also. meaning or amnam, meaning it has to do with the with consistency, basically. So Yaakov was the Midah Emes because he acted with integrity, even against his personal proclivities, against his personal will. Mm-hmm. How you translate Midah Ribono Shel Olam always knows what it's the right thing to do. You're right, we don't. 90% you start off with the assumption of the Midah Ribono Shel Olam.
Then where do you go from there?
Right. Interesting, just linguistically, the opposite. That Chazal never say mutter the shaker.
So that
shaker is shinoi tinged with, you know, immorality.
Right. So Rashi does. The Rishonim do use that lashon. They don't just say mutter the shanos. Yes. Yeah.
It's the famous they say in if you want the drush part of it. You know, the Medrash says in the beginning of Bereishis about, you know, the all the mitos weighed in about creation. Emma said, you know, all Yivare, because man is, you know, cool of shikari. So they say in the name of Kotskareta, it's like
I was going to say from Reb Chaim.
Well, Kotskareta. But so my father always, I used to say Darshan this a lot, that he said, that, you know, how could you go against Emma's? Right? Basically, Chazal said they threw away Emma's. His board was that an emes, which is based on Ali Bare, that's not a real emes. An emes where you don't find a way to create the world and then you come with it. But it's obviously, it's meant to be a bit of a drush. But the reason I liked it always is because the yisod is the yisod of this idea, which is that emes isn't the definition of truth and falsehood. It being true to something, meaning it's the integrity. So that's why some things that look like MS are really Sheker. Or some things that are really MS.
Meaning to take in the whole picture.
Right.
Okay, so we do find, as much as it's a very important concept, we do find some exceptions, as we said. And I just want to discuss some of those exceptions where we find this halacha might change. So one is the Gemara says in Yevamos, famous Gemara that says, as Noah just said, Gemara does not say Mutu l'shaker. The Gemara says Mutu l'shanos m'nei shalom. And says the Gemara, where do we learn this from? We learn it, first of all, from Acha Yosef, where it says over there, Avicha Tziva Lifnei Moso Lemar, that you should be Mochelis and you shouldn't start off with us. Yaakov Avinu never said such a thing. But still, the brother said that that Yaakov Avinu was Mitzavah then because they knew that now Yosef would listen, even though they were making it up. And hey, Darkei Shalom, this is what they said. The Gemara goes on to give a couple of examples. Then the Gemara ends up saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself was Mishanah Mipnei HaEmes by Avram and Sarah. It says, Vaniza Kanti. That's not exactly what the pasuk said. Sorry, man originally said Badoniza Kain, but because of Shalom Bayis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure to change the view a little bit from them. As then we have our Gemara, where the Gemara says that the Machlokes Beisham Mesila, where it's clear that they're being Mishana, or like some Rishonim say, not really being Mishana, but choosing to focus only on one of the Midos of the Kala that are positive character traits, and to ignore everything else about the Kala that was more of a negative character trait. I think that's the right way to say it. The Chavetz Chaim points out that not only should we take these Gemaras and say that it's Mutar L'Shanos of Bnei HaShalom, he says, no, even the Shaker Gomer of Bnei HaEmes is also permissible. Because you see from here, like Rabbi Rosenzweig was just saying, I think you see that there's a greater context to what we're trying to do. For example, the Achronim being a Raya, the Chavetz Chaim talks about this briefly, but other Achronim say, Aaron HaKohen was Oyev Shalom V'Rodev Shalom. Aaron was a Tzadik Nifla. But Aaron HaKohen was probably the biggest liar in the history of the world. You think about everything Aaron HaKohen did. What did he do? The Avos Rav Nosson tells us that Aaron HaKohen used to go to this one and say that this happened, and he would go to the other one and make up a story. Everything was lies. Had Aaron HaKohen do it? The answer is because his objective always was to bring about greater Shalom. He made up stories from thin air. The whole thing was a sheker. The whole thing was a lie. So you see that not only Mutar L'Shanos to bend from the truth a little, but even L'Shaker B'Bnei HaShalom is also permissible. Then we have the Gemara that says, as we discussed, the Gemara has in Bab Metzia, that's mutar l'shanos not only b'nei shalom, but even mishum tznius, or to keep your own dignity. For example, says the Gemara, it's mutar for a person to lie b'mesechta b'ushpiza v'puria mishum darkei tznius. It's not proper that I should go around and tell everybody about how big of a talmid chacham I am. It's not proper that everyone should know where I'm holding in my issues of taras hamishpacha. It's not proper that everyone should know everything that goes on in my private life. So therefore, we hold in a case like this where it's going to protect my tznius, I also have the right to be mishana mipnei hatznius or mipnei hakavod. I think I saw once that Rav Shlomo Zalman was of the opinion when somebody comes back from a date and people ask him when he comes back to the dorm, where were you? He also has the right, based on this Gemara, Mishum Tznias, I have a right to say, I wasn't feeling well, I went somewhere else. It's not everybody's business to know, or if somebody says, oh, how much stucco did you give, or how much money do you have in the bank, or what's your savings, what's your insurance policy, it's nobody's business. No one has to know how much I invest, or no one has to know how much money I have. So Rav Shlomo Zalman wrote that these are private matters, and you see from the Gemara that one's allowed to lie about private matters as well, because we have this ideal that we should try to be as sneistic as possible, and when people are invading our privacy, we don't have a responsibility to follow the absolute emes in a case like that. Zakra Moshe Nechuba and Ebene Ezer, that if the Gemara assumes that Mishum Tznius, or for our own dignity, it's mutter to lie or to be Mishana a little bit, then certainly Mishvil Kavod Shamayim, it will certainly be permissible to say a non-truth. So for example, some Achronim write, what's the din? If let's say somebody hands me a cup of wine and I think it might be Stam Yena. I'm eating over in somebody's house and I know they're not careful with the babysitter and I know that they have open bottles of wine that are not Mavusha, whatever it is. So the Kaf HaChaim talks about the case. Am I allowed to go ahead and make up a lie and say, you know, I get stomach issues whenever I drink wine? Or to say, today I'm fasting, whatever it is. Because I'm concerned. I don't want to embarrass the person. I don't want to start getting into a whole halachic discussion. If I know whatever the pshat is, but if I know that they're not going to follow the halacha anyway. But I want to get myself out of violating Nisr. I don't trust them. I think their wine might be Stam Yenam. So the Kaf HaChaim writes that I would be allowed to lie in such a case because that's Mishum Tznius, or Mishum Kavod HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If Mishum Tznius, like Ramosha argues, one would be allowed to lie because I want to keep my own privacy. So certainly, if Mishum Kavod Atzmo, it's Mutter, then for sure for the Kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's Mutter as well. To be Mishana or to be Mishaka Ripnei Hashalom.
If I need to make a Kavachomer from the Tznius Atzma, I mean, you don't think that could be part of Shalom or Leos or Evis and Rios? If saying I don't drink this, but it's Tamina, so it's not going to have any toilets, meaning they're not, so then you're just creating fracture.
Okay, but you need Makaris to tell you that's permissible. So let's say they know, oh, you're the rabbi, you have higher standards. They're not going to have tainas on you, right? So it's not going to be a shalom issue.
So they respect it, so then you should...
So the Kaf HaChaim writes that even where it's not an issue of shalom, just an issue of kavod for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kavod for the mitzvahs, I'm also allowed to say a non-truth. If for kavod atzmi I'm allowed to, so then certainly for kavod HaShchina I'm allowed to.
Why is kavod HaShchina?
What do you mean?
Get people to do mitzvahs, don't drink the wine.
Yeah,
what do you mean? Someone offers you a cup of wine, what do you mean? You're not going to join me?
Who says it's a bigger cup of Sheena to conceal from them
So that's what we're about to get into. What about falsifying halacha? So the Magen Avraham writes.
The Gemara Yibamu is Befir, she needed a cup of Chomer. The Gemara says that the one of the Talmidim Beis Hillel brought the olives to the Talmidim, whoever was, from the Shammai, said, I don't like olives.
Right.
And it's Mavur over there, that is because he felt that there was a concern that it was Talmidim. I don't like them.
Right, so Ramosha makes more far-reaching nafkaminas. I think the example I gave was a very simple one. That's what the Kaf HaChaim says, but Ramosha extends it even further. But the Magen Avraham takes it even further than that. The Magen Avraham says, what about if I know the halacha is X? I'm convinced this is the halacha. I know no one's going to listen to me. So I say, well, you know, I heard from the Rav, I think this is the Minhag, I heard from the Rav that this is the din. And now I know, everyone's going to listen because I say I heard from the Rav, right? So am I allowed to do that, Zakta Magen Avraham? Yes, one is allowed to lie and say, even though he didn't hear it from the Rav, but you know that people are going to listen to the halacha more carefully if you say that that's what you did. So therefore one would be allowed to lie in a case like that also. That's also considered Kavod HaShchina, so to speak, I guess, the Magen Avraham says, because you want to bring Amitas Hadin to the forefront. You want everyone to keep the halacha, and if the only way they're going to keep the halacha is if you're Tola B'ilan Gadol, so then that would be permissible. Where do we know that from? So I think you know it from the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Chavzayin. The Gemara here has on the bottom page, Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Tanashi Siku v'Klipei Arla. So you have an oven which you are masig with Klipei Arla, which are Asur, or Bekashon Shoklad Akarim, Chadosh Yutatz, Yashon Yutza. So the Gemara says, Afa Boas HaPas, Rebbe Omar HaPas Muteras, Chachamim HaPas Asura. How much do we assume that the Klipei Arla gave off a Recha into... gave off a tam into the pas that you baked in the oven. Va'atani ipcha frekti gemara, what do you mean? We have a brisa that says, Rebbe Nechacham, the shitas are the other way. So the gemara says, Shmuel ipcha tani. You're right, some have the girsa the other way around. V'iba yisema ba'amak savar shmuel halacha k'rebbe mechaber v'la mechabera. U'baha afilu k'rebbe mechaber. V'savar asni ipcha. Shmuel was of the opinion that, oh, you know what? Let me say it the other way around here, because ki hecha denekim rabbanu li'isura. I want to rig it. Aye, you know that that's not the truth. You know that's not the way the shittas of Rabbi Nachacham actually were presented in the Braisa that you knew. But Zak de Magen Avram, I think this must be his makar. Maybe there are more makaris, I don't know. But the Magen Avram says clearly that you see the same thing that the Gemara did over here. The Magen Avram says one would be allowed to do that when presenting halacha as well. To say that I heard this from an Adam Galor, to be Talib Ilan Gadol, if you know that people are going to listen to the halacha more carefully, that would be permissible. Yeah. So I just brought one of them. That's
there's a couple of strange Gemara. So like there's one Gemara where said he made a mistake, but he lied in order to like cover up because he didn't want to suffer the shame of having to admit that he made a mistake. And there's like another Gemara where it wasn't even embarrassing that everyone should keep the halacha, but they switched around the names of the shittas so that whoever they were posing the shaila to wouldn't be blinded by the fact that, you know, this person was the one who said the shita. They wanted to make it more even so that he would give them his own opinion.
It's like Masfilim and Atzad by a Bezdin. Right? Because if you're going to start with the Gadol, then everyone's going to be afraid to say, yeah, whatever they say. Okay. Fine. So, whatever it is, however many Makaros you have, this is what the Magen Avraham says. The problem is, this is a very Mechudishtik Magen Avraham. Why? Because we have a Gemara in Baba Kama Daf Lamed Ches. Now, this Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, Ikvar Shalcha Malchus Romi Shnei Sardyota Eitzel Chachme Yisrael. The Malchus Romi sent two officers to the Chachmei Yisrael, and they told them, "Lamdunu Torah Seichem, teach us your Torah. We want to understand what the Torah is all about." Karu v'shana v'shilshu. Some Mefarshim explain it means they learned Mikra, Mishnah, Gemara. It doesn't just mean they learned everything 1, 2, 3 times. I think the Marsha over there, or one of the other Mefarshim, says it means they learned everything there is to know. B'shas piti rasan amar lahem. So when they were leaving, they said, "Tiknakdu mechal tarascham ve'emasu." We see that your Torah has a lot of truth to it. There's one halacha that we just can't handle. What is that? The halacha that Shorsha Yol Shenagach Shorsha Knaini is Pater. Shal Knaini Shenagach Shorsha Yisrael Ben Tam Meimu and Mishalim Nezek Shalim. So how could that be? How is that emes? It doesn't make sense. The man of Shach, I re'eu dafka afilu de Knaini kinagach to Yisrael Pater. V'i re'eu lab dafka afilu de Yisrael kinagach to Knaini de Chayiv. V'dabar zeh ein anu modiyim osa l'malchus. So, this was a very difficult halacha that was taught to these two officers of the Roman government. And how are we going to explain to them how does halacha make sense? Why are we not responsible if our shor is nogeach theirs? And why are they responsible, nezek shalem, if their shor is nogeach ours? So Tosfos there asks a different kasha. Tosfos says, "Imtamar ha'amrinim b'chagiga ha'malami tor lo v'kachavim over be'esei, magid var liyakov." So Tosfos says, preliminary kasha, how is one allowed to go ahead and teach Torah to a non-Jew? So he says, either because they had no choice, and the Melech Romi, what?
Like the Cardinals.
Okay, so the Melech Romi said that he's going to kill them unless they teach Torah to this person. Okay, or Inami Asu Atzmim Geirim. So Tosfos gives a teretz. However, there's a Yamsha Shlomo, which is a very famous Yamsha Shlomo, where he writes not like that. Yamsha Shlomo says, Shamidim Ehai Braisa, to Asu Lashanas V'Divrei Torah, Afki Hasakan. Says the Yamsha Shlomo famously, one is never allowed to be Mishana from the Torah, even when it means I might be costing myself my own life. Says the Amshul Shlomo, V'chayv limsar atzmo alea, delefi chad shinu yiditosa, shemachos harisha gazar aleim, lama yiru chachamim shetalil malchus harisha aleim. What do you mean? The malchus said you have to teach them kala Torah kula. So you get up to that pasuk, why don't you tell them, oh, well, that's not really what this Gemara means, why don't you fudge the halacha a little bit? Aren't you afraid that the malchus Roman is going to kill you? You teach a halacha which is so against them, aren't you afraid that they're going to come back and kill you? Ha, lo timtza davar kasha kazeh lomar b'fnei ha'uma shanachnu pocher me'azekah me'em chayavim. How can you find a more offensive halacha than this? Says the Yamsha Shlomo, must be that from the fact that the Chachamim presented the Torah as is, even in a case where they knew it might cost them their lives, you see from here, one is never allowed to be mishaker while teaching Torah. So when it comes to that kind of issue, so you have to backtrack a little and think about how does the Magen Avraham present the halacha that he presented, that one is allowed to be mishaker and say, oh, I heard from the Rav this and this and that, because I want people to listen to me. How can I do such a thing? That's being mishaker in transmission of the Torah. How is one allowed to do so if the Yamsha Shlomo says that one has to always say the emes, even to the point where it might cost me my own life? So I think the answer is pashut, where the Yamsha Shlomo here is talking about changing a halacha. The Yamsha Shlomo is saying, the halacha really dictates that we're pater. Our shor that's nogeach, shor shokanayni, we're pater. And you were going to come along and fudge the halacha and say, no, we're chayiv. Whatever, you're going to make up a lie and change the halacha. There says the Yamsha Shlomo, one is mechuyiv to be moser nefesh, to make sure that the dine HaTorah don't change, or Hashkafas HaTorah doesn't change. But over here, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to teach the halacha. I'm afraid the balabatim in my shul are not going to listen to me. So what do I say? To make it sound better, I say, oh, I once heard from the Rav that this is what he said. I'm not being mezayif the Torah. I'm trying, adarav, I'm trying to make them have a greater enhanced kiyum HaTorah. I'm trying to get them to accept what I'm saying. I'm trying to get them to do the right thing. So therefore, in a case like that, I don't think this is at all comparable to what the Yom Shah Shlomo was describing about being chayiv to be Moser Nefesh on Ziyaf HaTorah. I don't think this is Ziyaf HaTorah at all. On the other hand, this is, to the contrary, this is the Mekayim Es HaTorah. Yeah?
You're, just to speak something out, you're assuming that there's like halakha l'maisa, how people should conduct themselves, which is a higher level of Torah, and then there's other parts of Torah which are like lower levels of Torah, which don't pertain to people's conduct. So,
I didn't say that at all.
That's what it sounds like. Meaning, to say that who's the Bala Mimra,
yeah.
I know that Revolvi has this line where he apologizes for not having footnotes for putting the sources in the text. He says, the Koy Moitza Hadvarim, he adds Matayrahi. So that's why he puts all the sources inside of the text and not in the footnotes.
That's the question.
So, why don't we just call it Halacha?
That's the Bukhuda.
I'm not sure.
One
second. I'm not sure what we're saying.
He's saying quoting people is itself the Torah, then the distinction is between, you know, or halacha l'maisa and other aspects of Torah. Right? What I was trying to say was that itself.
You should quote people, often to be people.
So when we meet Amar of Yehuda, Amar Rav, that's not Torah, and then when we meet the Mimra, that is Torah.
Wow, I think this is the other way.
The point in fact
is that you really haven't concluded what halacha is, and you know, you just need a little bit of help in order to, you know, to sell it to the people. That's a little bit more, but as opposed to there being no counter pressure whatsoever. But it's true. Pasha says that's not too different. You know, it's not choosing two parts of the, you know, Chatzishal Torah for the presentation.
Yeah, but to be fair, this is a case where the Baabatim will only get accepted if you say it, Hashem Barak.
Okay.
So there it makes sense that the person who's saying it is part of the Chassidishal code.
Right.
So even if Revolvi's not there in general, I'm saying here the people only accept it on the basis
of if you assume the Balabatim are the authority, so the church is Friday night. Put it this way, if it wasn't Balabatim, but it was like
said
a certain Torah audience, it really grew up.
I think they said the story about the Night of Yehuda that he wrote in the Pinchas HaKehila. No, that each rabbi used to write a different minhagim in the Pinchas. So he wrote that Aseres HaDibros in the Pinchas.
If they put the Aseres HaDibros on the Pinchas, people would listen to it.
Whatever. Yeah.
It's like there's an Indian to not be
not to murder,
not to steal.
Yeah, it's a nice thing.
I'm pretty sure I recall hearing that this shaped by that when was it art school? I think it was Nassim Sherman spoke to us. He said that all the posting they spoke to, every one of them. Said that we do not pass in like the Shesh Maisa and then the Shesh Maisa, the Yom Shah Shlomo, and therefore, you know, it's mutter to, when they are translating the art school, they can write, you know, heathens or whatever instead of non-Jews.
One second, the Achronim talk about how does the Yom Shah Shlomo deal with that Gemara about translating things differently, and how does that differ from what he's saying here? They deal with that.
I'm pretty sure I heard that they said we don't pass.
Doesn't mean we don't pass like the Yom Shah Shlomo. I mean, I don't know if Rav Nassim Sherman's Pesach is. I don't know. No, but I think
also not presenting full story of something when what you're presenting is still accurate, just because you know that people will think in a different way and they're not in a position to understand it in its fullness is not necessarily the same.
That's what some Achronim are do distinguish between what the Yom Shah Shlomo is talking about, Ziyuf HaTorah, and
which is very explicitly, you know, it's
changing
the it's something you're leaving something out or leaving conditions out, or you're not speaking to the firmness of the issue, but you're actually
misrepresent. Why couldn't they say, Ray, you're right, it doesn't mean you, it means, you know, some somebody who, you know, Nevi'ei Baal, it means worshippers of Baal, whatever. I mean, the point is, they could, you know, they couldn't come to something.
That wasn't going to fall. That wasn't going to fall. But the point is that you don't have an obligation to, you know, for example, Sean, you don't have an obligation to tell everything you know about a topic just because somebody asks about it.
I'm saying, then you're saying there's no other way to get around the issue that he's presenting other than saying either Shneim Turim or Shneim Chayev. Maybe you could have said Re'ehu doesn't mean
you.
Maybe they went there gone for it.
I'm guessing that the umptious show will tell you that that's true.
I'll look it up, because I think
Okay. So,
as the Amshalom himself in the continuation asks from the Gemara and Megillah.
Right, from the Gemara by Talmai. I mean, from, by Talmai and Mela. Right, so. That's what I'm saying. It's not such a kasha, because the Amshalom Shlomo deals with the kasha himself. When you talk about the din of Losagur Mipneish, we have by a Bezdin that the Dayanim are Mitzuvim not to be afraid of the Balei Din that are coming to down in front of them. So Zakta Sifri there, I think Rashi quotes this, but the Sifri says, Shema Tomar Mesiari Ani Mipnei Ish Ploni, Shema Yarogas Meni, or Shema Yadogas Kadishi, or Shema Yikatzeitz Es Nitiosai. Okay, I think it's a pretty valid consideration. If I'm a Dayan and I'm just afraid the guy's going to harass me on the phone, okay. But if I'm a Dayan and I'm afraid the guy's going to come kill my children, it's a little bit more of a reason maybe I should stay away from the case. And he has a history of being a murderer, let's say, and he's mamish a crazy man. So still, says the Pasuk, Tamalom lo sagur mepneish. Still, the Pasuk says, Akhtar Sifri, we have this mitzvah lo sagur mepneish. And the Achronim are bothered. How can that be? What do you mean? How can you say the din lo sagur mepneish applies even in a case where I'm afraid the person's going to come and cause physical damage to my family? Even when he's going to come and ruin my property, he's going to ruin everything I have. How are we allowed to say that lo sagur mepneish would trump my pikuach nefesh? Similarly, we have the Gemara in Sanhedrin, where the Gemara says, Mishashama hadayin es divrei habali dinim. Once I, as the dayin, hear the two sides, and I know v'yodeh lehechan adinota, I know which side is really correct and which side is not. So he says, the dayin now is not allowed to pull himself out of the case, he's not allowed to recuse. Why? Because we have this din lo sagur v'pneish. Zak Rashi. What does it mean when the dayin is choshesh? The Gemara there has a lashon, the dayin is choshesh ha'chazek rodfo. I'm afraid. The reason why I want to pull myself out of the case is because HaChazek Rofa, I know there's one party involved here who's totally a madman, he's totally wild. So because I'm afraid of him, so I want to pull out. Because I know that the case is leaning against him, so I'm afraid he's going to get back at me. So Rashi explains, what does it mean HaChazek Rofa? Rashi says, no, what it means is, I'm afraid he's going to heckle me. He's going to bother me enough until I'm going to have to change my mind in his favor. So therefore I want to pull out of the case. Tosfos says, no, HaChazek Rofa means he's going to go after me, like this Sifri says. Hachazik Rofa means, even when I know the person is ready to mamish beat me up and he's ready to, you know, to really cause harm, pikuach nefesh, still Tosa says, you have the din, lo sagur mepneish, a person has to be careful not to buckle to that pressure. So the Bach and other Achronim ask the Kasha, how can you explain this? What do you mean? I'm a chuyiv to go ahead and give up so much. I'm a chuyiv to put mesiras nefesh to everything. Because of the din lo sagur mepneish, we never find such a concept. We never find such an idea that pikuach nefesh is trumped because of a regular din of the Torah. Yeah, we have the big three. We have Avodah Zarah, Gilui Reish, V'Chasdam, but how does this fit into that? How can it be? So the Shavuos Yaakov and other Achronim, Piskei Teshuva, quotes that maybe it doesn't mean that he's really going to go after you. It just means I should have such amuna shleima. I think the Chazon Ish talks about that. I should have so much amuna that the person is, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world, so I really shouldn't be afraid of him. Okay, I think most people don't live on such a high madrega, we're not able to think that way. So the pashtus is, when a person comes and he has a history of killing people and he has a history of being a hitman by organizations, and now I'm downing it in terror for him and I see he's going to lose and I'm afraid he's going to go after me, I think most of us would be afraid. Most of us would probably be afraid. So what's the pshat over here? How do you explain? So I thought the pshat is based on this Yamsha Shlomo. Again, if we don't pass on like that, it might not be the case, but maybe the pshat is like the Yamsha Shlomo. What are we talking about over here? It's Ziyah Fatara. I'm afraid that this person's going to go after me. So because of that, what am I going to do? I'm going to change the psak. The psak is really chayiv to this side and pater to Reuven's chayiv, Shimon's pater. Because I'm afraid of Reuven being chayiv, because I'm afraid he's going to come kill me. So what am I going to do? I'm going to switch the din. I'm going to come up with a whole psak. I'm going to have to write out the psak and explain it. So I'm going to have to be mezayif the Torah. I'm going to have to change the din and say, no, Reuven's really pater and Shimon's really chayiv. Why? Because I'm afraid of Reuven. And I'm going to have to justify my psak by being mezayif the Torah. No, that's exactly what the Yamsha Shlomo is describing. That Ziyah Fatara is the one case where we have an exception, that one is not allowed to bend from the truth of the Torah, even where it means it might cost me my life. You have those chacham that were teaching the Torah, and they taught the din of the Ketani, the Shar, Shanagach, that we are going to be putter if our Shar is Nogach, the Ketani Shar. Still, they were willing to give up their lives because Mishum Ziyah Fatara, one is not allowed to bend from the truth at all. So I thought maybe that was the pshat over here also. How does Tosfos explain that Lo Sagur Mepneish will mean that one is not even allowed to lie when it means my life might be at stake, my life is on the line, and everything, all my property is ready to be destroyed because of this, still, because we're dealing with an issue of Ziyaf HaTorah, because I'm giving a psak din, so we have to make sure even to be ready to be Moser Nefesh for that. Yeah. Because you're stealing from the other party.
Right.
And
this is not such a hashem, but maybe it's a little bit cute. And isn't there always a way to just write incomprehensibly? So I don't understand what you're talking about.
You can get the money to the wrong person without.
Oh, so that leads me right into, maybe with this we'll close. It's just it's such a geschmacka discussion, so I always found it very intriguing. I was led to this for the first time by Rav Asher Weiss when I was learning in the Mir. He led me to a tshuva in the Divrei Yatziv, which is the tshuvas of the Klois Merger Rebbe, the previous Klois Merger Rebbe, where he has the following shaila. He says, Nistapakti, which is, it really touches a little bit on your issue. Yeah.
You're saying that it's Ziyaf HaTorah because he's changing the psak in this case, or because in order to justify changing the psak, he's going to have to change some Dina Torah? Is it the mere fact that he's saying Pater Chayiv in this case is itself
Ziyaf HaTorah? I think so.
Even if he doesn't change any Dina Plush and Mishpat, or...
What do you mean? Plush and Mishpat dictated he's Chayiv, he's Pater. Now you're deciding that he's going to be Pater, he's going to be Chayiv.
You could always just say, like, you know, the Metzias,
right, but you're being Mizayif
the
Torah.
Why?
Because Chosha Mishpat dictated that this is the din, and you're dictating that it's not the din. So you're being Mizayif
the
Torah.
I'm saying you can change the case without
He's saying if you don't give your evil king, you just
right.
I mean, that's what Ephraim's saying. Don't write a psak and say everything that you want to say.
That's an open
question. So here, so I think this really brings that point out very interestingly. I think the discussion is surprising, but it's interesting nonetheless. The Klois Merger Rebbe has in his tshuvas on Chosha Mishpat, what's the din if, let's say, you have a din Torah, you're the dayan, and I see that the way things are going, this person is going to be chayv to pay $100,000. He's completely chayv. And I know if I write a psak din that he's chayv to pay $100,000, there's not a chance he's going to pay anything, he'll run away, it's no chance we're going to be able to enforce this. Just too unreasonable for him to handle. So, Zuck the Klois Merger Rebbe, I had a suffix. Maybe I should write, Yechayv $50,000. It's more manageable. So, Yechayv 100, but we know there's no way you're going to give 100. So at least I'll write in the psak 50 that you'll give 50. At least I'll be matzel. Miyad Oshko, I'm going to at least be machzer $50,000 that you're owed. And the other 50,000, okay, too bad, but at least we got you something. So you had the suffix, what's the din? Am I allowed to lie in my psak?
May not be allowed to
lie.
What? You also could argue.
Right.
You can't do that thing. A towing can't claim a certain amount of money in order to get out the actual money that he is owed.
Right.
That's because our different, because of the Gemara.
Meaning to say a higher amount in order that it'll split and get half.
Yeah.
So here this is different. This is talking about the dayan. Dayan has the responsibility. Right, so the dayan's responsibility.
You mean like a b'cham say money?
I mean, so the dayan's responsibility is to bring justice to the world. So over here, he feels I'm bringing at least $50,000 more justice to the world than was before. So the Klois Merger Rebbe had this suffix. I thought it was an interesting suffix. But you look in the Achronim, the Pischet Shuva actually doesn't talk about this suffix, but he talks about a very similar suffix. Pischet Shuva says, oh, right, he says about any day. So what happens? You have three dayanim on a bezdin. So what happens? I have two dayanim are going to outvote the one dayan. These two dayanim, I know they're crooked, they took shoycha, they're liars. I know they didn't take the din seriously. They didn't listen to the tzadim, everything. Their psak is wrong. So what's going to happen if I say, I think he's chayiv, and the other two say they think he's pater, I'm going to be outvoted, that's it. Zakta pischet tshuva, well, some achronim say, in such a case, the third dayan, in order to make sure that there's no ivus hadin, he's allowed to say any odeya. Ah, you know good and well what the din is. You know good and well what the halach is. Just you're allowed to say any odeya maybe because you want to bring about justice to the world. And the only way to do that in a case like this is to pull yourself out of the case by saying any odeya. This is above my head. I don't know what to do. And then you'll see four dayanim. Then you have a chance to bring in two more dayanim who might say...
It's 2 days, I think.
Right, so the Pesach Tshuva quotes a machlekes the Shvus Yaakov and the Chabas Yair, whether one would be allowed to lie in a case like that, when the point of my lying is really to bring about a greater good, to bring about more justice. Would one be allowed to do that?
Right. I think there's an added element, if I remember correctly, that is because part of the issue of dimaruma in general is that you can't, if you're sitting in a bezin and it's going, you can have the opposite situation too, where you know it's going the right way from your point of view, but you know, let's say, one of the Adam is a liar, right? Or one of the Dayanim is some other interest. So in that situation, the integrity of the process of Dinyan doesn't allow you to operate on that basis either, even when you get the right result.
Mm-hmm. So there's an Israel that's hired from Russia.
What?
There's also an Israel, there's an Israel that's hired from Russia. You know the Dayan is...
Yeah, that's part of this. So here, I think some of what they say is, in addition to the question that you're talking about, which is stands on its own, is that even internally, that you have, the idea of protecting from Din Maruma, like you know that this is a miscarriage of justice. So even internally, your obligation, it's not just, that you come up there, it's that you from a pure Dayan integrity of the Dayan situation, you can either say anything that they are, you can sit by and watch...
Watch as
evil did take place, but you have an obligation to prevent that too. It's just the protection of the Balidina, it's also the protection of the Dayanim and the concept of Din Torah.
I mean, I did see a third application of this. Rabbi Yonah Sinaipshitz has a machlokes with one of the Acharonim, let's say a very similar case. But what happens if you come, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin shiro kulam l'chayva, so he's pater. I mean, okay, the Meiri has this funny shot in the Gemara, pater no samiyah, you kill him right away. Okay, but all the other Rishonim learn out, Sanhedrin shiro kulam l'chayva means that we didn't look into the case. If nobody can have it sad l'hakel on this person, it means we didn't look into it well enough, so he's pater. So they have a machlokas. What's the din? If I see, I'm the last judge, right? So we have 23 dayanim, everyone sitting around, and we are one after the other, everyone says chayiv. They come to me, I'm the last one. If I say chayiv, the guy's going to be putter. But I know he's a murderer. I know that it's clear that he did something wrong. So am I allowed to lie in a case like that and say, well, I think he's putter? Why am I doing that? I'm doing that in order to make sure that he actually gets a death penalty, because that's what he deserves. Or do you say, well, what do you mean? The Torah says, sometimes we have a scenario where Sanhedrin Shirao Kul and Lechava, and the halacha dictates in a case like that, that this is what we do, that we say, Pochen, he's Pater, that's it. So this is a discussion as well, which really comes to the same question, do the ends justify the means? Are you able to look for an objective good, and because of that you're allowed to be Mishana Minha MS? Or do we say, no, your job right now is Midrash HaKetirchak. And Midrash HaKetirchak, in its original state, was said in the context of a Bezdin. In fact, I once saw in a Sefer, I forgot where, but I once saw that Midrash HaKetirchak v'naki v'tzadik al tarak is under the pasuk, ki lo antzik rasha. So I once saw a pshat that Midrash HaKetirchak, you're going to say the reason why I'm lying is because naki v'tzadik al tarak. You're going to say, what do you mean? I don't want this person, if the other two dayanim are liars, I don't want him to lose out, so I'm going to say any yodea. Or I'm going to say pater in order that this person should be killed, whatever. I have all sorts of cheshbonos. The Rebbe Shalom says, don't worry about it. Kilo atzdik rasha. I'll make sure in the end of the day to do my part. You're sitting on the bezin and you see things are not going the right direction and things aren't doing what they're supposed to do, so therefore you want to lie and you think Midrash HaKetirchak doesn't apply to you. Still, the Rebbe Shalom says, it's my job. You do what you have to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's a Gemara Sanhedrin regarding Binaki Vitzadi Gautama.
Correct. So they take it a little step further that it says, Kilo atzdik rasha. Don't worry.
No, because I'll say, Kilo atzdik rasha, what does it mean? It means.
I'll take care of it.
Because Binaki Vitzadi means that if, let's say, you know he really did commit the murder, but there was some, there was a mistake in Pesach that he's putter. So in such a case, you can't go back and try again. I know now that he committed the murder. I mean, the Edom came after we already passed the Zakai. So that's what Kilo Atzik Rasha, don't worry about it, I'll take care of it. That's what Chazal says. So you're saying that he takes it back to Rasha Keturah
right.
Also.
To the lying part, right. So so I thought that was interesting, but I think the suffix over here is interesting. Again, what Ephraim was talking about Ziyaf HaTorah, so we have the Achronim do discuss this over here when you talk about different contexts of a Bezin and when it's Mutter to be Mishana and when it's not, you might have to take this Yamsha Shlomo into consideration. Let's just finish with this. And that is, even though we have situations where we would assume that one would be allowed to be Mishana Pnei Hashalom or Mishana for whatever reason, because you have an objective good or whatever it might be, whatever the guidelines are, it is clear that whenever it's possible, like the Achronim say, a person should try b'chol tatzdiki shehi. A person should try with all strategies that are possible, not to be mishana mipnei emes at all. A person should try not to teach themselves to veer away from the emes. The Archas Tzadikim writes, b'chol elu shehitiru chacham l'shana sim yachal lasu shelo yishaker who told yosem imashu yishaker. Meaning, it's not just a blanket heter. We say a person has to try every other venue before going off to this idea of being mishaker because you have an objective, a greater objective good, because it's something that we're not. What was that?
They say that that's the pshat. That's the pshat. He says, the Chazal spoke language was misleading to
Shnei Panim.
But so they all the Achronimah, so like who's he fooling? So what's the point? What is this law? The answer is even when you have to lie because of integrity. You still want to, for yourself, you want to limit it as much as possible, and you want to keep as much of the truth. So he wasn't saying it for Yaakov. For Yaakov, said it didn't make a difference. But for his own sake, he just couldn't say the words. So he started the mashma in order to...
Not to ruin himself.
Yeah.
So that's clear, the Gemara talks also about, in Yevamos, the Gemara says about the son who switched the order on the mother, who when the father was ordering the food for lunch and the son was changing and the father was upset at him. What are you upset? What do you mean? I'm trying to bring about a greater good. I'm trying to be mechabed of. I'm not lying stam because I like to lie. Still, you see over there, it wasn't like nafik churva mine. It's not like anything terrible was going to happen. What happened? So she gave him pizza instead of giving him ice cream. Okay, so the wife is not respecting her husband. But you, the father, is giving the son musa that you shouldn't get involved. Why? Because in the end of the day, you're training yourself to say a non-truth. And that's something that a person should be careful about. Whatever the makar might be, whether it's the Raisa Durabanan according to all the Rishonim and Achronim, whatever the makar might be, one has to try and train themselves as much as possible to do every other possible tatsdiki to make sure not to have to revert to being Mishanim of Nea Emes, being veering from the truth at all, if it is a possibility to do so.
I actually have the